This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eschbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
It's the 919 Beer Podcast. Joe Ovius from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Adam Eschbaugh and Wayne Holt from 919 Beer. And we're not technically allowed in the studio. Tour continues because I've got the podcast equipment. We're at Mordecai Beverage Company in the Gateway Shopping Center. Andrew Christenberry, owner of Mordecai, joining us today. Thanks for having us out. Thanks for the Lunch from Union special, and also thank you for being so close to the radio station. This was the easiest trip in the tour so far.
Yeah, we're happy to have you guys out anytime.
So I guess we could kind of start with from the last time we chatted. You were in the studio. You were talking about the general setup and what you guys were trying to do, but you weren't brewing yet, or you were getting ready to start serving. You weren't quite there yet. Now you have, and you just had your anniversary and everything else. So how was that transition to getting people to know, hey, we've got our beer too?
It was good. We started serving, I guess it was last January, February is when we really started serving. Mm-hmm. We got the two-barrel system in late February. COVID hit and we shut down. We got the system up and running, started brewing to anticipate opening back up. Opening back up didn't quite go as what everyone expected
originally. Slowly but surely, yeah.
So once we open back up in May, we've been serving full time basically off that system.
Okay.
So we've been in the range of about 8 to 10 beers, sometimes 12.
So what's been the most popular?
Most popular has definitely been the Wannabe a Baller Hazy IPA.
This is where Adam comes in shocked.
This is my shocked face.
This is your shocked face.
Yeah, well, of course it is. But when did you start with this one? Or you said you don't necessarily always have IPAs on, right?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, we always have some sort of IPA, but we don't always have the same ones. And I'm not going to overload the board like some people do. So I think the most we usually have is like 4.
This is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's very tasty. And I'm not a haze bro. Like, I'm not a hazy IPA lover.
Yeah. I feel like it drinks a little bit more like a little pale.
It's a little more crisp than it looks.
Yeah. Yes.
If that makes sense.
No, I agree.
It's got a nice, like, crisp finish, clean.
Well, this is funny because as we do this every week, and whichever brewery we talk to has their new thing or the thing that we want to talk about, it is a hazy. So what the hell? Why are we still on the hazy thing here?
That's what people want. That's what we
want. Why do you think that is?
Well, part of it was the name, the Wannabe a Baller name. They see it and laugh, and they're like, oh, well, I got to try that.
It's a good name.
It's like, okay, cool. It helps that they end up usually liking it. Like I said, it's been the most popular. I can't keep up, which is a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's...
What's the ABV on this one, Andrew?
7.
It's at 7?
Yeah.
Wow. I would not have...
I would not know.
I would never have known it was a 7%.
Cool. Yeah. Supposed to finish nice and easy.
It really does. What hops are we looking at in this?
Citra. Just
all Citra?
Yeah. We use, so this is Citra in the boil, Citra in the whirlpool, Citra in the dry hop.
When are you adding in the boil?
The boil is at 60 minutes.
Okay. And are you doing a 90 or?
No,
you're doing a 60.
90-minute boil.
Okay, yeah.
60-minute hop. And then we're whirlpooling in Citra extract, hop extract,
okay,
and Citra hops. And then we're dry hopping it as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we got... it's really fantastic.
Thank you.
And I don't love the hazy stuff, but I really enjoy that.
It's meant to not blow your palate.
No, but it's not just a bland hazy looking chicken stock looking thing. Yeah. Like it's nice.
Thanks.
It's really good. We got to have two other beers here.
Yeah. Two other beers, pink lemonade sour. It's got strawberry, peaches, lemon and lime. I think it
smells like a
funky little
like
sour.
Like a kettle sour, yeah.
Tastes pretty much like pink lemonade is what we think, so that's what we went with.
It looks a little like grapefruit juice,
mm-hmm,
to me.
It does.
What's Wayne's over here catching
flies? Did you get it?
Wayne's over here miyaging some flies with his hands.
We've been trying to get that fly for days.
Well, look, if Wayne knocks it out, I mean...
Speaking of which, has anybody been watching Cobra Kai?
I've been watching that, yes, last night.
My wife yelled at me because I couldn't stop watching. No, it's terrible, but you can't, like,
no,
you love it. You love it. It's so cheesy.
But
it's like Karate Kid cheesy with pumped up, beefed up language.
And, yeah, it's and, like adult version of
and
karate.
And like really, you really feel bad for Johnny.
Oh,
oh my gosh! In the beginning, I've only watched like the first three episodes.
Oh, just wait, it gets so much better.
Oh, I'm way deeper in three episodes.
Doesn't it get better?
It absolutely gets better.
So is this the same as like Outer Banks, where everybody was telling me it's so bad you got to watch it?
No.
Because Outer Banks was terrible.
No, no. This is actually like you're going to get into it and you're going to be like, all right, this isn't the greatest show I've seen, but I got to know what happened. Like, I got to keep watching. Like, I can't stop.
Outer Banks is only terrible because you're thinking about the Outer Banks.
Yeah.
And it's filmed in a lot of it's filmed in Kiowa and around Charleston, so it's not even filmed in the Outer Banks. And I think when they made the reference that you could go from the Outer Banks to
Chapel Hill
to Figure Eight, and I'm going to cross the water to Figure Eight, like and
oh, there was that, but they also were like, oh, I'm going to take this ferry, a 2-hour ferry ride to Chapel Hill. Like,
that's so all those things, but no, Cobra Kai is it's interesting. So yeah, I was Miyagi-ing because I've been watching Cobra Kai. And it's the storylines in that thing are just crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
The kid, the daughter, the son, the daughter,
and a bit of there's a lot of role reversal happening.
Absolutely,
You know, Daniel's lot in life now, and it's okay, right. Check it out, Joe. You need to check it out.
You'll like
it. And it's great how they splice in, like, especially in the first episode, how they splice in like highlights from the movie.
Yeah. Oh, they keep doing flashbacks.
It was an illegal kick, by the way.
Yeah, they do flashbacks like throughout the whole thing, so it just keeps showing you.
So I'm gonna have to show
crane
kick
to the face, completely illegal.
So I'm gonna have to show my kids Karate Kid first, and then I'll watch.
All right.
Your kids haven't seen Karate Kid?
And then
when's the last time you watched Karate Kid?
Don't know that they necessarily
you better
should watch
drink some
show,
ranch water.
Depending on how old they are.
Oh, they're 12 and 9, so.
My kids watch Karate Kid.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're
not
watching
Karate Kid.
No, not Cobra Kai. Your kids shouldn't watch Cobra Kai.
They're watching The Office.
Yeah, but they're not doing drugs and drinking like they are.
And there's some really foul language in Cobra Kai.
Yeah, I guess I kind of blocked that out.
I put Run to Jewels on while I'm at home. They've heard these words. It's all no right. big deal. But anyway. All right, let's get back to your grapefruit beer, which isn't about grapefruit.
No.
It's pink lemonade.
That's right, we were talking about beer.
Pink lemonade.
Yeah, we'll just get back to that.
Nice, easy drinking, 5%.
Okay, 5%.
Now, are you canning these? Because
Kind
of, sort of, just crowlers back there. Okay,
16-ounce crowlers.
Okay,
I don't love the idea of the 32-ounce crowler can.
Yeah,
being so large.
I'm with you.
And so I just don't understand like why I get those when I can get 16-ounce cans and just do it that way and sell it by the 4-pack, basically.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, I was curious about that because I'm seeing a bunch of silver bullets behind you here as we're here at
your pallet of cans that you get when you order one.
All right, So I was wondering how you did that.
Because
I saw them in the fridge and the pink lemonade I wanted to take home.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
And that's the second great sign I've seen in your place.
What? Oh.
Do not touch the cans, please.
I'm just waiting for someone to like fall into that.
That could be like a t-shirt.
Like, that could be. That is a good one.
Yeah. There's one in the bathroom that says use the hand towels to dry your hands only.
So is there like pulp in this?
And you're like, wash rags?
It's fresh fruit.
Okay, that's what I was. All right.
Wayne
and I were having a different conversation.
Personally, took like 30 pounds of peaches and 35, 40 pounds of strawberries.
Yeah, okay.
So made our own puree.
Well, that's what I was curious about because, you know, other places will tell you that they used all this fruit or whatever, but it's all filtered out. So when I took a sip of that, I'm like, wait a minute, is there something in my beer? No, that's pulp.
Yeah, it's pulp.
Okay, gotcha.
We try and make it so that it's, for the most part, that it's not just like chunky fruit hanging out in there.
Sure, but
yeah, you might catch a random strawberry seed or like, you know. If someone one day was like, there's something black floating, I was like, yeah, it's strawberry seeds. And they're like, okay. Yeah.
No, that's why. Yeah, no, I think that's an important thing.
But it has wings.
Yeah.
That's important to point out.
On the other hand. But yes, there is a little bit of pulp in there.
So. I've moved on to the Black is Beautiful.
I started with
probably my favorite new beer.
You started with that?
I started with that.
Ooh. It's really tasty, Andrew.
Thanks, man.
It's very nice.
So for those who might not be aware of Black is Beautiful, some patrons might go to other breweries. They'll see the sign. They'll see the can. What is the thought behind Black is Beautiful?
The thought behind it is that the Weathered Souls Brewery out of Texas wanted to start an initiative to help give back through beer.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they felt they could best do that is making a beer to showcase, I guess, to use to showcase different variations and show that there are different shades of color regardless of like what color you're talking about specifically, and that all people of color and people of like any color should be treated the same. And so what they're doing is they're taking this initiative and giving back all the proceeds from the beer to local charities.
Okay.
Each brewery that gets involved chooses their own charity to give back to. We chose the NC Black Alliance. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of work in North Carolina across the whole board. Healthcare, education, justice reform, just basically anything that they can do to help out. So we're hoping to raise about $4,000 to donate from this beer.
So what's the premise? You're not all using the same exact recipe, right? So
Weathered Souls created a base recipe and basically said, here's our template, take this and alter it in any way you want to showcase a stout in any way you choose. They said they preferred it be an imperial oatmeal stout. Mm-hmm. Other than that, go from there. So we took their base recipe and changed it around a little bit, made it a little bit more roasty, added extra chocolate malt, and then we actually aged it on cocoa nibs and vanilla beans.
Nice. No, it was very, very good. Also the first beer you poured, so that's why it was the first thing I had. I was being impatient. So,
yeah, it's cool to go to different breweries and taste them, and I've had an opportunity to have a few of them. I know Hopfly, Cam did one, and it was like 100 degrees when we were drinking it outside back in like the end of July, and it was like this like 10.5% imperial stout with peanut butter. And
sounds perfect.
It was delicious, but I'm gonna have like two sips, and I was like, I'm done, man. I'm done. Delicious, but enough. But it's cool that it's one beer with so many different variations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a really cool idea. So what else? You said you've got 10 to 12 beers on at any given time, but they're not always the same. So since, I guess, opening and having your beers on, have any kind of come to the forefront to be kind of like, I'd say, flagships or just core beers? We'll call them not even flagship, but like core beers. Like you really want to focus on having these because they sell really well. You said that the Wanna Be a Baller.
Ballers turned into that. I've almost resorted to making it about every 2 to 3 weeks now, and can barely keep up with the two barrel system, which is a good but still problem to have.
How many fermenters do you have here?
5.
Okay.
So we have 5 2-barrel fermenters, and I usually have 4 of them full. We also have 3 bright tanks. So essentially I can have 7 beers going at the same time, getting ready or working in some capacity. Other than that, I would say any of the Saisons that I've been doing, the Citra dry hop Saison and then the Serrano and pineapple Saison were probably, that one
like Pedro was, Serrano, Joe.
That one was really popular.
Stick to sports. Cleveland Indians.
Screw you, Joe.
Hats for bats.
Yes.
Sorry, completely went off topic. But no, I want to taste some of those Saisons eventually today.
Yeah. We have 2 on right now, the cucumber Saison and then the Citra dry hopped. But we'll always have a Saison on. It's one of my favorite things to make. So,
what has happened to Saisons? Not to say they were the hazy IPAs of 5 to 6 years ago, because they weren't, but they were really gaining in popularity, and then they've kind of faded a little bit.
I don't know. I think it went to sours. I think people wanted...
You think it went Saison, funky Saison, sour?
Yeah, because I feel like...
Saison, funky Saison, Goza, Berliner Weiss...
Yeah, kettle. Like, I mean, they've all been hitting like every one of them that you can get your hands on now.
Yeah,
it's kind of like with IPAs. It's like at first they started getting slightly hazier and slightly hoppier, and then all of a sudden one day it was like, how many pounds did you try and shove in that fermenter?
Right.
Like, and why?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it. Some of them are delicious, but some are better than others.
Some are better than others.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, other than that, the dark beers have also been super popular. We have another stout that'll be out in a few weeks called Glasscock Quattlebomb. It's my imperial stout. It's one of my favorite beers to make. It's not similar to this, but you'll taste it and you'll be like, oh, okay, I kind of get where Black is Beautiful came from now. Mm-hmm. So,
What's the fall looking like for your lineup here?
So we have...
How many pumpkin beers are you going to have?
I have 0 pumpkin beers. We do have a Dunkelweizen coming out, mm-hmm. nice brown ale coming out. And then we'll do the double chocolate and raspberry porter. That's one of my favorites. The Mexican chocolate stout.
So cinnamon and all that good stuff.
Yep. A little bit of heat.
Yeah, he's already moved on to winter warmers.
That's fun. Yeah,
I mean, it's September 16th. I mean, come on. We've moved on from pumpkin beers.
Yeah, but this is the year of... In these unprecedented times...
In these uncertain times.
Everything was put on hold for a couple months. Literally put on hold. And I think the seasonality of beer has kind of gotten a little screwed up.
Or taken back to where it should be?
Yes. it's gotten thrown off, except from the big boys. You're still getting... Beginning of August, end of July, later. You still got some pumpkin and Oktoberfest from some of the big guys. But I think everybody locally has just been like, whatever. I think everybody's been on hold. They're just happy with what they're going to get. And I think for the most part, they understand certain beers might not come out this year. Yeah. There's several of us not even making an Oktoberfest this year that always make an Oktoberfest. But you had to make some choices back at when we opened back up as what the rest of your year looked like.
Yeah. Not to mention, are you going to be able to sell what you're making?
Exactly.
And which ones can you sell fast enough so you can make more instead of making one that could sell but may not sell?
Yeah. And just because we love it doesn't mean it's going to sell.
I was told people love pumpkin beers and they'll drink them in August. So, although I will admit, I did have my first pumpkin beer of 2020 this past weekend when I went over to my father-in-law's for his birthday. And he broke out the Southern Tier Pumpkin
Classic
Nitro, though.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw they're doing Nitro
cans
this
year. So
when
I saw it was Nitro, I went, all right, you have my curiosity. Pour one out. That bad boy came in at like 9%.
Yeah, it's a double. It's a big one.
And it was actually, I had my one. Let's put it that way.
Was it smooth?
It was smooth. I enjoyed it. I think I liked it better in that form on Nitro, and it was more... It was creamier.
That's why I was wondering. I figured that might be nice.
Yeah, it actually ended up being. It's a dessert.
I wonder if they did Warlock.
Point.
If they did Warlock and Nitro, because that would
really
Warlock
be good. Warlock has always been my
favorite.
I like
Warlock better than
Pumpkin has always been a classic. Always
it's
been good.
Yeah, it's always
but when
like
they came out with Warlock. Yeah. I was like, all right, you got me now. Like this is what
I've
I
always
want.
Liked.
But apparently,
Warlock.
They're coming out with all sorts of variants too. Like there's a coffee version of the Pumpkin now.
I don't want it until November.
Yeah,
or like at least Halloween.
Yeah,
I mean, but like for me, Pumpkin is Thanksgiving, which
yes,
is
I think
not
we should do a Pumpkin
soon.
Beer mile.
Oh God,
near Halloween.
Can you do it right after the Krispy Kreme challenge so
high
we can
gravity.
Just do it on the same street and clean it all at the same time?
I mean, you want to try it in the station parking lot?
I mean, we might.
I'll give it a shot.
In the
high gravity pumpkin beer mile.
If you want to try it, I'm down.
I'm bringing in our first one this week. We're picking up Wilmington's.
I've got one coming to Holly Springs. I'm picking it up
He
Friday.
Was like, hey, I have an extra six still of our pumpkin beer if you
he
want it.
He said the same
like,
thing to me.
Yeah, I know.
Jack, we got to have a talk.
I know.
Oh, boy.
It's okay, Jack. I'm blowing up your spot. I was like, well, you know what? I haven't had one on yet. Yeah. I'll take Wilmington's. Like,
it wasn't
it's
like
not
a,
from
yes,
around here.
I'll take that. I was like, well, all right.
But also,
if I have
said the same thing.
Well, kind of just like, right. You know what? It's probably pretty good. Everything they do is solid.
Sure, it's great.
So it's like, I'll take that one over somebody else's I've never had. So, yeah, I get to try it. I'm sure, you know what's
that's
funny?
Hilarious.
People
How many
are going
people
to
got
love
that
it.
Email?
It'll probably be the most popular thing that we have on this weekend. And that'll
one
be the only thing anybody talks
of
about.
Of pumpkin beer left. It's Jeez. Yours if you want it.
Yep.
All right.
Speaking of having beers, so I had pumpkin over the weekend. And Wayne, you're already wearing a shirt. I was actually in Wendell because that's where my in-laws live. But I've not been out to Bearded Bee yet.
You should.
And then you tagged me and Adam on Facebook at the Beefmaster.
I did.
Oh, yeah. In the middle of a pandemic. Dude, did you get tested before we hit record? I should have asked you that before anything. You actually ate inside the Beefmaster.
Yes.
All right, real quick context. Beefmaster's this joint in Wilson that probably has, 10 tables inside a small cinder block building. So it was never really socially distanced before. So it's great, by the way, but how did it work this go round?
I've never been until this time, but I mean, there was no one within 6 feet of our table.
Okay.
I mean, they pushed them against the walls.
Okay.
So it's limited seating, but
even more so than it usually is.
Well, I mean, like I said, I've never been, but
was there tailgating?
So we rolled in there literally at 432, 433.
Oh, okay.
We got the ninth parking spot, which meant we got the ninth table.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it was one of those days where we left Carrie, my buddy Jim, and myself left Carrie at like noon.
Okay.
Drove to Rocky Mount, went to the mills, went to TBC, mm-hmm. had tacos at 1:15.
Oh, geez, man.
Right? But I knew what was going on. I had one chicken taco, which was phenomenal. Jim's young, and he works out. He'd ridden his bike that morning for like 50 miles uh-huh. already. So, or Friday night, he rode 50 miles. So, on a trainer. At 1:30, he has three smoked chicken tacos.
Whew.
We leave there. We go to Casita. We leave Casita. We go to...
We got to go out to Casita. They've reached out about us doing the podcast there. We have to go out there.
Left Casita, and then we went to the Beefmaster.
Okay.
So, again, we had had tacos at 1:30, 1:15, 1:30, and then we go sit down in there and eat a full meal. I'm not going to lie to you. At 9 o'clock, I was in bed. At 9:05, I think I was asleep.
Yeah. Meat sweats.
Meat sweats.
At about 2 o'clock, meat sweats were
meat
kicking.
Sweats.
It was bad. But, man, what a great...
Look,
adventure.
I stand by what I've said. There's a bunch of places where you can have a great steak, okay? And, like, locally, the Angus Barn will always come to mind because of the full experience
sure,
that comes
absolutely.
With the Angus yep. Barn, right? However, the Beefmaster stands as one of the great meal experiences I've ever had in the state of North Carolina because of the whole aesthetic from the, you know, no reservations.
Yeah.
You have to wait. You wait in the parking lot. People are happy to wait because they're having a good time in the parking lot. They'll tell the guy, I'll get the next table. And they wait another 30, 40 minutes to get that next table. The dude coming out with the freaking cut of meat, telling you 8 ounces, 10 ounces, 12 ounces, whatever, working that little grill that Lord knows how long it's been in action.
Well, but
it was a great experience.
But that's the beautiful thing about the Beefmaster. In my one experience, in my limited visits there, it's very simple. There's no menu. Walk in. They bring the entire ribeye over to your table, whatever's left of the ribeye, as he's cutting it down. And he lays the knife flat on it and shows you what's in front of this knife is 8 ounces. And they start at 8 ounces and nothing less.
Yeah.
So and you can go up to whatever you want from there. But it's it's a steak. It's a ribeye only. There's no other steak.
Yeah.
It's a baked potato. They put sour cream and butter on the table.
Get that baked onion?
The baked onion. And then there's a little very
gotta
basic.
Get the bacon.
And there's a very basic salad bar.
Yeah, it's like a Lazy Susan too. That's the best part.
But the quality of the beef, I will put against any steak I've ever had. And I've eaten at some really fine steakhouses.
I don't know
steak
where they get it from, but it's fantastic.
He's not going to tell you.
The marbling's incredible.
Yes.
The density of it is. Again,
it's a great freaking steak.
You can get the eight ounce. I don't think even if I were hungry, really hungry, I'd get more than an 8 ounce piece.
I think I did 12.
I don't think I've ever eaten more than 8 ounces personally.
I think we've ordered more, but I don't think I've ever eaten. Mind you, I think it was performance enhanced, but I had 12.
But ordering a 12 or 14 ounce steak at, let's say, Outback or Texas Steakhouse, or even some of the nicer restaurants that I'm not going to name because I actually do go there, some of the nicer places, it's a different quality of meat.
It is.
So the denser the meat, the more marbling, the less you need to get the same protein out of it, right? So incredible, incredible meal. So then we worked our way back to Bearded Bee after all this.
Oh, God. Dang, Wayne.
And I'm pacing myself because throughout the afternoon from 1 o'clock until 7 when we left, I had four total beers. I had one at the mill, two at Casita, and one at Bearded Bee. So, because I'm driving. Now, Jim, who's with me, he's slamming 8 and 9 percenters.
Because he works out.
He's young. Right. He's 32 years old, and he can do all that. Say that I can't go.
Did he tell you about Peloton? Does he do Peloton?
No, he's got a cycle. He just puts on a trainer.
Oh, okay.
But we get
he's
to
32. He probably can't afford this shit.
but we get to Bearded Bee, and I don't know what to expect. I mean, I've seen pictures of the outside of it, so
sure.
I walk up and open up the door, and I'm just blown away. You open up the door, and it's one of the most beautiful tap rooms I've seen. I mean, I love what you've got here, Andrew. I told you the first time I came here, I'm like, oh my. And I told these guys on the podcast, this is really sweet. And you got the whole thing here that they don't necessarily have, but they do have a little downtown right there. But you open up the door, and there's these community tables that are probably 20, 25 feet long. I think there's three of them. Then there's some individual tables. Nice bar. They've got a little place in the back where they're throwing darts. Nice outside area. I had, I think I had a pale ale, really good. So my whole Saturday was great, but I got to say the highlight was the Beefmaster.
Perfect. Perfect, man. That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
But yes, I am wearing the Bearded Bee t-shirt.
I have to get out there because, again, my in-laws live out in Wendell, and I've been seeing it show up on my social media accounts, so it's probably on the list of things to go check out. Real quick, we'll take a little break here and go to a recorded conversation before we wrap things up here at Mordecai. Actually, Wayne, you can actually help me talk about this a little bit too, with your friends over at Bond Brothers.
Yes.
They got a beer release coming out this Saturday, right?
That is correct.
So
Laura Eichen with Bond Brothers joining us here on the 919 Beer Podcast, and they got a cool beer release, and it's coming out this Sunday at Bond Brothers. It's called Crafted Conversation. Laura, thanks for the time. Tell us about this beer that you all are releasing on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's a project that the RDU Pink Boots chapter kind of initiated. We were talking about ways to diversify the Pink Boots chapter, and realized that some of the suggestions we came up with, it's really hard to pull a minority group into an already minority group, being women in beer industry. So we kind of had discussions on, like, what is the bigger issue? Why are there fewer minorities working in the craft beer industry, even just drinking craft beer, mm-hmm. being involved in the craft beer community, visiting tap rooms? We, you know, took time to discuss things and read a lot of articles on, you know, a lot of rationale as to, you know, how to make craft beer for everybody. I mean, we say it is, and, you know, normally when you think of craft beer, you think of a bearded white guy. And, so we really wanted to look at, you know, what gets people into craft beer. I mean, you know, at one point I was kind of embarrassed to say this, I was a big Miller Lite drinker, and you know, at one point you have a craft beer and it kind of opens your eyes and go, oh, okay, well, this is pretty cool, and, you know, could tell you the progression of me becoming a huge craft beer fan and big beer snob. But what does that for people? And, you know, honestly, we wanted to create an experience that just, you know, one, created exposure and education, and also just shared experiences with people who don't normally drink, minorities who don't normally drink craft beer. So I thought back to the time that we did the Pink Boots Brew at Bombshell last spring, and what a great experience that was. We got to talk and share stories and get to know people, build relationships, and we made a beer together. And honestly, I was personally very proud of that beer for what it represented and what it meant to me. And, you know, I drank it, I shared it with people, I told people the story, and I thought, you know, if we gave people the opportunity to do that, people who are, you know, just dabbling into craft beer, maybe interested in it, just to expand their experiences and build relationships, was the whole kind of point of let's get people together. I mean, beer brings people together. And I just felt like if we could take minorities in the community, invite them in, share an experience, have conversations about, you know, how to be more sensitive, about how to be incorporate diversity into our tap rooms, it would be a learning experience for all of us. And so that was kind of the premise of the event or the project. The beer was kind of the end result, the after effect. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm excited about the beer, but it was really the event and the project that we hosted. So the Pink Boots chapter invited about 9 minorities from the community to come and brew a beer with us, and this was the result. So.
Well, I think it's great that you're doing it, and it starts that conversation, because it's one that we've had on the podcast before. I have wondered out loud why I don't see black guys at a craft brewery, right?
Yeah,
and this is coming from the perspective of a guy who is born to Cuban immigrants, right? So, you know, I grew up in South Florida, and I'm technically an ethnic minority, right? But, like, I got a beard and I fit in just fine with my flannel. Like, it's not that big of a deal. but, like, I've got friends of mine who like craft beer who are black, but it's one of these things where they just kind of keep it low key and they'll go buy stuff. But it's very rare that you see that demographic at a brewery. And I've always wondered why. I mean, like, are you telling me that black people don't like beer? That's not true. So I've always wondered why we don't see more minority-owned breweries or more minorities in the process, and I think this is great that you guys are doing this.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of those came up in some of the conversations that we had at the event. And, you know, like I said, we researched a lot of articles, and, you know, they brought up, you know, there's social reasons, there's economic reasons, there's various reasons why it's just not been accessible or promoted in minority communities. And yeah, I mean, we have minorities come in the Bond Brothers, which is great. And we've got Black patrons, Asians, Indians, all sorts of different types of people that come in. But I mean, Cary is majority, you know, white, and that's a lot of what our patrons are. And, you know, we would love to bring more people in and make them feel welcome. And, you know, Eugenia Brown said it best, is that, you know, when you go somewhere and you walk in and you're the only person that looks like you, you know, you're instantly aware of that. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. I'm the first minority that Bond Brothers hired. I'm Asian American, and everywhere I go, pretty much, I mean, I'm aware of the fact that I look different than everybody else. But the thing is, it's just because I feel comfortable, you know, in different scenarios like that. I feel comfortable at Bond Brothers because of the craft beer, and felt welcome as a patron there before I was even an employee. So I think just providing experiences and opportunities for minorities to have the opportunity to come in to feel welcome builds that. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight or over a week or a month. Like, it takes time. And the hope with the project is that, you know, the people that were involved brewing the beer and having conversations that day will take this beer and share it with their friends and families and neighbors and people who aren't, you know, as welcomed in, you know, craft beer communities, so that they could dabble in a little bit and go, well, this is good. This is not what I expected. And where did you get this from? And tell me how you made it, and start a conversation with people. And that's the hope, and that, you know, you can build these relationships. And I would love to see other breweries replicate the project and have it grow. The idea is that it was on a very micro local level, kind of grassroots. I think a lot of the projects that the breweries are doing nowadays, the Black is Beautiful beer and things like that, it's great because it's raising awareness and they're raising funds. But I really wanted something that was impactful and intentional.
No, that is awesome. Laura, I appreciate the time. I'm glad that people are finding out about this. And it's coming out Sunday at Bond. What are the packages available for this?
We have a 16-ounce cans that will be available. It will be a limited number, and then most of it will be available through kegs.
Awesome.
And
all right,
we'll have it on draft. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, go check that out, folks, at Bond Brothers this Sunday. Laura, appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
And a reminder that the proceeds of the Crafted Conversations beer will be donated to the NC Craft Brewers Guild Diversity Scholarship Program. So great cause from a great brewery. We appreciate Laura's time.
All right, so we are here at Mordecai Beverage Company in the Gateway Shopping Center. And I want to get back to the Crowlers, because I think this is an important thing for people to understand. Because with the limited space, some people just want to come in, get a thing, and go back home. They might not be comfortable hanging out in a spot or being outside with a bunch of different people. So anything that's on tap, you can get?
Not anything on tap. It's typically like 6 to 8 of the beers that we have that we make on tap will be in the cooler ready to grab.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
Usually it's dependent on the status of how much we have left in stock. Okay. So once we start getting lower in stock, we stop canning and start switching over to other things.
Okay.
Essentially just so we can sell it on site.
Speaking of crowd, how have patrons been? Because I know the whole setup of this spot is part of the neighborhood, part of the Mordecai neighborhood. So, I mean, clearly once you've opened back up, I'm guessing the neighborhood has come out to support and fill it up. But how have, I mean, I'm assuming everything's been chill, everybody's doing the social distancing, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we've had very limited issues. I think total people, probably 2 issues since we opened back up in May. One was the second day we opened up. And then
fun.
One was like a week ago or so. But none of which have been anything like too crazy or like gone viral or anything like that. Everybody's pretty understanding that, you know, supposed to wear a mask, supposed to sit 6 feet away from people, not bother anybody, so forth and so on. We have a huge outdoor area with lots of picnic tables and a plaza and a stage and stuff that we have use for.
Yeah.
So people tend to just kind of spread out and enjoy themselves and stay away. So
now, do you have food trucks that show up?
We do. We have one tonight. We're debating. I can't remember. I don't think we have one on Friday, but I think we have one on Saturday. We've been trying to get them. It's Wednesday night is our putting league. We're doing a disc golf putting league. They basically put up five baskets out in the plaza and do their like weekly league.
Okay.
So we have a food truck every Wednesday and when we do the league, and then we usually try and have one Friday and Saturday.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Disc golf.
Disc golf. They love it.
We have disc golf at the brewery, but we don't use it anymore because
COVID.
We expanded seating into our.
In these
we set that up instead of cornhole boards.
Makes sense. Yeah, it's great.
And it's just something different.
Yeah.
And then kids can't climb on it and break a leg or a board.
And so the guys all bring their own discs. So, like, they have their own discs. They go out in group, like, they go in groups of four, but it's usually, like, friends.
And this is set up around the parking lot?
Well, yeah, through the plaza out there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because we block off both ends.
Oh, okay.
Take over. Yeah, anytime we do anything that's involving our plaza out here, we block the street so you can't drive through.
When my kids were younger, I would go to Cedar Hills Park where they have a disc golf course.
It's right around the corner from my house.
But I did not know there was a disc golf course.
Oh, really?
So the kids are at the playground, and I'm just kind of chilling. And I always see these bros just walking through. And I had no idea. It's like,
he's like, what are these guys going off into the woods to do?
Right. That was my exact thought.
But why is it like groups of three or four every like 10 minutes?
Why are there
so?
Four guys with bags all kind of like looking, you know, a little particular
sketchy.
Way.
Really, really relaxed.
Yeah. Like, and I was like, why? What is going, like, what am I missing here, man? It's like, it's just like.
Well, they may have been doing that too, but they were playing disc golf.
Yes, and it finally hit me. I'm like, oh.
A couple of those things just happened to go hand in hand.
Yeah. The disc golf is here. I had no idea. So that makes a lot of sense. So you have some shaggy looking bros that hang out in the parking lot of your spot, but it's okay.
Some of these guys are legit, like, tournaments. Like, it's funny, they roll up and you're like, you look like an athlete. But you play disc golf, and you're like, that's crazy.
Yeah. We have a listener, Chase, who actually is sponsored, and he's got all of his stuff, and anytime, because, you know, Gold and I would make fun of disc golf or something, because Gold's big issue is, like, don't call it disc golf. Call it something else. Like, golf is golf. Call it something, like, I don't care what you call it, just don't call it golf. Whatever.
Golf players play golf.
What do you want to call it? It has pars, and it has...
It's disc golf. What,
yeah, I know. I
why
know.
Would you call it anything
what
other?
You call it?
It's the same. It's like the same rules.
Frolf? I have no idea.
Frisbeeing?
Like, I don't know. It's one of those like classic dumb sports radio tropes that you can get somebody like really like, wait a minute, I disc golf. I'm going to disagree with you. And that was Chase, where he would be like, come on, man. Like, I'm going to take you out there. You know, you're going to see how hard it is. We're like, nobody says it isn't hard.
No, it is hard.
It's hard.
Oh, they ask us all the time if we're going to come out, and then me and Kyle are like, hell no. We're not letting y'all see how horrible we are. Like, we both have kids and haven't played in years.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's fun, though.
Anything else that people need to know about?
Other than that, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. If you want, you're always welcome to bring food, chairs, hang out in the plaza. We're open Wednesday through Sunday.
Okay.
And we're...
Food truck schedules on the website and all that?
Yeah, food truck schedule will go up on the website weekly. We do movie nights every other week, bands every other week, opposite of that. So, yeah, lots of stuff outside.
Very cool. That's good. That's good to know. Well, thanks for having us out.
Thank you guys for coming out.
That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the 919 Beer Podcast. What do we got coming up next week?
Panthers report.
Oh, boy. Chris Allen
New will be our,
actually,
be our guest.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, no, next week actually is going to be Chris and I discussing ACC Network products. We were actually texting about this, about Alien Tape, which is on the ACC Network. It's like a double-sided tape that apparently is reusable and like stuff doesn't move on it. It's ridiculous. So I ordered some.
Like for around your house?
Yeah. Like, if you wanted to... Andrew would not need to put any signs up and use nails if he had alien tape. He would just need to put some alien tape on the cinder block and then put the wood plank on there, and it would hold forever, apparently, because it's alien tape.
Yeah, I want to see this.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to see it, too. But here's the crazy part. You could order alien tape for $19.99, but if you acted now, you get two more rolls of tape.
Dude, I'll go in with you.
I already ordered it.
Man.
Wow.
Of course, for shipping and handling, it ended up coming out with like $26, $27 for three rolls of tape, but it's on the way.
Sounds fun. So you and Chris are going to be talking about this?
We're going to be talking about alien tape.
That's going to be great because, you know, next week for the podcast, the Panthers will be 0-2. The new the Cam Newton led Patriots will be 2-0.
Wow.
I mean,
I don't know. I'd like to see. I'm interested in that game.
Yeah.
Do you think Carolina's going to go to Seattle and win? Right? And aren't they in Seattle?
I don't know, man.
They are. That's not going to happen.
We'll see.
After what's Seattle?
Foxborough?
No, it's in Seattle.
No. The Patriots Panthers game next week.
No, Patriot. The Panthers are playing Tom Brady, Tampa Tom.
Tommy.
They're playing Tommy.
Tommy.
And then the Patriots are going to Seattle.
No,
that's right. The Patriots are going to Seattle. Yeah. That's right.
I don't have the schedule.
There is a week where the Patriots are playing the Panthers this year.
I'm pretty sure. No, not this year. Not this year.
That would be great though.
Because if that were the case, we already had that marked. We'd have that calendar marked.
I mean, I've lasted the entire podcast without talking about my football team.
Yes, your Washington football team, which, by the way,
football team 1-0.
You know what? Keep the look.
Hey,
I like it.
I love the helmets.
I like it.
They can't change their name now.
I love the helmets.
Hail to
the football team.
I love the fact that the end zone says Washington football team on it, established 1936 or whatever it is.
Have you seen the shirt? It's all the NFC East teams.
Yeah.
It says like Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, football team.
That would have been great. But the algorithm gets messed up too, because like I logged onto Twitter and, you know, live now, Eagles versus all caps football team.
That's great.
It's the equivalent of Tecmo Bowl. FT. Washington FT.
But did you see the stat they put up there that for all the years they've been playing, they have the same number of wins and losses and in the ties? So if they had lost, and at this time they were down, 17 points?
17 nothing.
It would have been the first time they'd had a losing record since 1975. Overall, losing record.
Go football team.
So they pulled
team.
It out. So I'm thinking 3 weeks in, they're going
to
have the losing record.
The football team.
Hey, Rivera and Jack Del Rio? We're good. I like our chances, man.
Yeah, Rivera's great.
Can't name another player on that team, but.
You can name the quarterback.
Dwayne Haskins.
And
thank
the franchise.
You. Number seven.
And the franchise, Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
And Alex Smith, man. Hey, look, you got to root for Alex Smith. Yeah, Bottom line. You really do. After all he's been through.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this podcast.
We'll see
you
next week.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.